Abby Jesus. Top of the morning to you, Ian.
Fancy a langy down to Panna?
No, it's great. It's great.
You're listening to Gift Wrapped.
Well, I remember death being very good.
A Today FM original podcast telling the story behind Gift Grub, which has been making Ireland laugh for 25 years.
Make me laugh.
The FAI is a monument to professionalism.
Everything I see now in life is a potential sketch. So for me, life used to be normal. There was a bus, there was a train, there was a person on TV, there was a man kicking a football on a pitch, and it used to be, that's all it was. But about 23 years ago, that all changed, because now all of that went, that's a potential sketch. So basically anything I see now, whether it's a woman at a checkout or listening to two people talking in front of me on a train or a bus, if I'm taking a bus or a train, or people on a golf course or something, or in a tennis club because I play tennis, or on the TV or in a match, I just go, is there something in that?
Hi, this is Dáthaí O'Shea here, presenter of the Today Show on RTÉ and the Rose of Tralee. What is unique about Gift Grub is Mario, all his characters, like, say, you can't have a conversation with Mario Rosenstock, but he's kind of inside, licking the inside of your brain. And then you go on the show the next time and he's giving you back everything you gave, and you're thinking, how did he remember all that stuff, you know? I think that's part of the uniqueness and the brilliance of it. But also it's Eno. Like, say, Eno's part in it when the segments are live on the radio is brilliant. Like, Eno plays the perfect opponent or sidekick to the Roy Keynes and to all the other fantastic characters as well. So it's a collaboration of all those things and more that makes Gift Grub so unique.
I was in contact,
yeah,
with some of the players based in Ireland,
yeah,
and they were all on about the Web Summit. What's it called, by the way?
Summit, yeah, the Web Summit, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The Web what?
The Web Summit.
I know it's Summit. It has to be Summit. What's it called?
It's the it's the Web. The Web Summit.
You can't remember?
No.
The whole world lost its memory.
We met when I joined Today FM. I moved across the River Liffey over to the north side of Dublin to Abbey Street and joined Today FM from RTÉ. And when I got in there, there was this guy knocking around who I kind of noticed by listening to him on the radio quite a bit. And that was Mr. Mario Rosenstock. And we didn't meet. I started doing the show straight away and we didn't meet immediately. But during the first couple of weeks, we had a few encounters and we brushed jackets, if that's a term. Mm-hmm. And we noticed that there was some sort of a chemistry between the two of us. But I don't know whether we noticed that.
It's like sexual chemistry.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you think we spent so much time together? Similarly, my first encounter with Ian was obviously seeing the poster, Look Who We Poached for Breakfast. And then everybody was talking about this guy, Ian Dempsey, going to be coming into the building. Yeah. But he was coming on sort of recce meetings into Today FM before he started into Today FM. And every time he came for recce meetings, everybody would go, Dempsey's coming in an hour. Get the champagne out and look successful. So the place was broke. Well, it wasn't doing very well. So then when Dempsey would come over,
blow up a few balloons there, he's on the way.
Blow up these yellow balloons and just take out wine glasses and start. And it was like 11 o'clock in the morning and we'd be all twiddled at 1:30. And Dempsey would come in and he'd go, oh yeah, how are you? That's my great Dempsey impression, right? Yeah. And he'd come in and he'd drink a glass of champagne and he'd go home again. Yeah, I'll see you some other time. So, and so obviously his impression of the place was, what a brilliant place to work. You come in, you get two glasses of champagne and you off again. So he must have thought this is a grand place. But really what they were doing was just, you know, trying to give him a nice warm welcome before he came and show that the place was on the up and up, which it wasn't really at the time. And
It did.
So then I think the powers that be, and I think Paul McLoone may have been involved as well, sort of orchestrated the idea that we would all meet up, the three of us, me, Paul and Ian. And so me, Paul and McLoone and Ian met up to basically kick around the idea of what could you do? Is there anything you could do?
Well, Mario had been on previous programs and at different times, and sometimes you do a bit with the last word, maybe sometimes you might do something on the breakfast show while I was listening waiting to come on and I heard all these little bits, Michael Flatley and Jerry Adams and all
these guys.
And I said that's really good stuff, but I think what we decided was, how could we get this so that it's a regular situation and we could have it on every day so people would get used to it, it would have that consistency about it. I know that sounds boring but and very mechanical, but at the same time that's how people actually get to like something.
Regularity of radio, the everydayness of radio, the people setting their clock by something on radio, and as I said
before, and not even having to look at their watch, just kind of saying to themselves, it's that time already,
it's that time of the morning so when we met up together we were kicking around ideas, and I think what probably sealed the deal was we probably complimented each other with a sense of humor. We probably liked what each other were saying.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what has to happen in a meeting. Either you kind of get on or you don't. Mm. And I think Ian probably felt, maybe we could work with this guy. And I was definitely feeling, I'm definitely available.
This is for me, Andy.
Okay, orders, please.
To Carlsberg, a Bass and a Shandy. And don't forget the L Double Brandy.
The whole thing came from the radio. I only thought it was only going to be a few weeks or a couple of months old, you know, and I was an actor. I am an actor. So it's a gig. And it was a really nice gig to have. But I only thought that, like any gigs, it would come to an end quite quickly and happily move on. But this gig seemed to go on and on and on. And everything comes from the radio. So you try characters on the radio. Some characters stick. Some characters stick better than others. Those characters who stick, you go, they're users. You can use them to do anything. You can use them to go on CDs, or as they used to be, or you could use them to go on stage. You can develop them, bring them on TV. Some characters are better on TV and visually than others. Some characters don't work on TV as well for some reason, you know, and that would be to do with maybe the way I look. Some characters work great visually, like Miriam O'Callaghan, because I look fantastic as her when I'm... When I'm dressed up as Miriam, and I love dressing up as women. I do love messing around with costume.
Your Mary Lou McDonald is sensational.
Yeah, in those boots.
Yeah.
So we had a very long pair of black leather boots from Mary Lou McDonald in the last live show. So, look.
Yes. Well, I mean, like it started off in 1999, and Mario was already doing some sketches, but it was kind of random, wasn't it? You were on some shows every now and again. You might do a little bit for The Last Word with Eamon Dunphy back at the time, a little bit. And then you might do something for Paul Power, I think it was, in the morning.
Mark Byrne.
And it was just there it might have happened on a Thursday and then you wouldn't hear again for another week and a half or whatever. But then we decided, when I started on the show, we were looking for something to put in the comedy capsule, as they called it. And we were trying to do it that it was regular, that it was every day, so people would actually get used to it. So that's how that started. And I think that was the key to it. Obviously, the writing is great, the comedy is great, but the idea that it was regular, that it was on all the time. And we said, we'll see how it goes. And we said, okay, we'll give it a month or whatever. And if it was over after a month, because I'd been involved in other things before where they did them and either the people got bored with them or they just weren't good enough. And we just kind of abandoned them and moved on to something else. But this seemed to, you know, gather steam, gather pace, and all these characters started establishing themselves and then became part of the furniture and the makeup of the show, you know.
I mean, it all stemmed from you coming into the station. I mean, I had been doing this thing called Starship Compromise, which was a little minute and a half long sketch, which was all based, predicated on the peace agreements. Jerry Adams and Martin McGuinness in a spaceship traveling around the galaxy looking for, not war, not peace, but compromise. Because it's the word.
Yeah.
They used to be on the news every night. I said, various parties are seeking compromise with other. They're refusing to compromise. Will compromise. Won't compromise. He won't compromise. Will he compromise? Yeah, we're looking for the DUP to compromise. I've never heard a word so overused. Yeah, yeah. Compromise, this compromise. So I said, I call the ship Starship Compromise. It goes around the universe looking for compromise. It meets aliens and they go, what do you want? And they go, we want a compromise. And the aliens go, what the hell are you talking about? So that's what I was doing. Ian had heard a little bit of that sort of stuff floating around. Ian came into the station and Ian had always obviously worked a good bit with comedy. He had Jimmy on the radio and 2FM, and they were a bit of a legend together. He was funny with Dez as well. He'd worked with Zig and Zag, and you even had Graham Lenehan had done a thing for a while, Starship Roisin.
Well, it was Arthur Matthews.
Starship
Roisin, which was the same idea. It was actually another one of those stars.
That's right. Star Trek was huge at the time.
Yeah. So ours was Starship Roisin.
Mine was Starship Compromise.
And we had Prunchies de Rossa. He was the main man.
That's right.
At the time. But anyway, so that was a bit of a coincidence. But then we started working together and formed this beautiful marriage.
Obviously, there was me, Ian and Paul. But getting me, Ian and Paul into the room... there would have been, I mean, I suppose John McColgan, who was the original founder of Today FM, would have been, you know, the main man outside of that. Willie O'Reilly would have been around at the time.
He came along a little bit later.
I had already been in the building when Willie was there.
So am I.
So would you. And we want that just mentioned for the record, Willie. And I know Willie will go, well, a twitch of glasses. I saw this guy, Mario, and his brother was far better than him, by the way. And so don't try it, Willie. Willie clip. Let me see. So that was, and then Tom Hardy was also involved.
Rest in peace.
And
Stephen Price. To a certain degree, in bringing
Stephen Price, Paul McLoon, and I was involved a little bit doing guest voices with The Last Word, but it was really you and Paul, and probably had you noticed me on the radio?
Yes, I'd heard things like
"What about
he'd
Mario?"
Be good. This could get us out of a bit of a fix.
Yeah. Comedy capsule fix. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. So, but John McColgan was the guy who was the owner, and he was very influential and very encouraging about that. And he liked show business, and he liked a little bit of kind of rudeness and things that kind of disrupted the situation, didn't he?
And crucially, John was a huge fan of Dermot Morgan, and Dermot Morgan was Ireland's, you know, greatest sort of TV and radio satirist, and Dermot Morgan launched Today FM on March 17th, 1997 with a big show of Scrap Saturday down in the St. Andrew's Lane Theatre. Yeah. So John McColgan had got Dermot to do a show, Dermot and Pauline and Owen Rowe and all the guys from Scrap Saturday to do that show. So John had clearly a love of satire, Hall's Pictorial Weekly, Mike Murphy, Twink, Dermot Morgan, all that sort of stuff.
And the idea that he got Dermot Morgan to do that for the launch of this radio station was, you know, that had been traditionally on RTE radio every Saturday morning, and then suddenly it wasn't anymore, and then he got this show. So it was a real send out a signal.
It was a statement of intent. We're here. And so the idea that somebody like me or me would come along was no surprise, because John was a real fan of, and he's a real entertainment man.
Yeah.
John is real light entertainment, old fashioned, make them laugh, make them cry, make them listen.
Bums on seats,
commercial as well. And John is real commercial as well. And if you do get him to talk on the podcast, he has a great voice. It's just pure honey.
Now, here's John, the real John McColgan.
Hello, my name is John McColgan. I'm ex-chair of Today FM, one of the co-founders. I'm also a television producer and one of the director of Riverdance.
And here's Mario doing John McColgan.
Mario, darling, my darling boy, my darling boy, Gabriel. No, it's not Gabriel, it's Mario. Oh, sorry, Mario. My darling boy, would you do me the most darling of little favours?
He calls everybody darling, because they do. When you're worth 100 million and you're in the entertainment business, you call people darling. And for some reason, they call you darling back.
Darling, would you like to have a Chateau Lafitte in my house on Friday night?
Mario, my darling boy, and Eno, the two deadly duos, 25 years ago, since you came on your white steed to save Today FM. You and Eno have made such a difference, such a team, Batman and Robin, Laurel and Hardy, all the great duos, and you joined them. Anyway, I love you. You are an amazing contribution to the AFM, and you've made such a difference. And you and Eno are two lovely, talented men. My darling boy, I love you. Goodbye.
It's a podcast, Ian.
A podcast, you can say.
Ian, nobody, for your podcast, nobody's ever heard him curse.
Yeah.
We wanted something that would be on the radio every day. We wanted something that would feature this character, Bertie Ahern, who was Ireland's newest thrusting prime minister, very much in the mold of Tony Blair, in the kind of man of the people kind of thing, this new breed of politician who wasn't old with grey hair and looking kind of like a granddaddy, a politician that looked like a younger man who had younger interests. And it was famously known that Bertie liked Sky Sports and he liked Manchester United football team. He then said he liked the Bee Gees and he liked...
Smiddix.
Bass. And I like a pint of Bass. And the Dubs, the Dublin football team. And people went, ooh, he's one of us. He's not one of these ivory tower politicians. A bit like, you know, Tony Blair used to like, you know, Oasis and, you know, Liam Gallagher. And, you know, Noel, and he had them over, you know, to Downing Street. And people went, dad, this is a new breed of politician kind of thing. So we said, what can we do with Bertie? And so we had the original idea that we put Bertie in a hotel. He would be the manager of the hotel and the hotel would be Ireland. And he's the, oh, he runs Ireland. He runs the hotel. A bit like Basil Fawlty ran Fawlty Towers. And every week and every day, there'd be new visitors to the hotel coming in. So in other words, let's say Roy Keane or Michael Flatley was popular that week, we'd go, Michael Flatley has checked into the hotel. And so Bertie would have to meet him and la la la. And we did, I think, a pilot of it. But we felt that wasn't maybe, we were going to be stuck in the hotel, the world of a hotel. You'd be stuck in it. So like you kind of, every day you'd have
imagine
to be,
25 years later, we were still in the hotel.
Yeah, you stay in the hotel and you're like, who's cleaning the jacks this week?
Yeah, exactly. And, my turn.
The hotel was turned down planning permission by, oh God. Yeah. So we decided to make it much more fluid. So whatever way we said, we'd imagine that this guy, Bertie Ahern, who was very much a man of the people, would just turn up in a kind of a studio beside Ian every morning, cooking breakfast, as a prime minister does. Except the key ingredient was he'd be cooking breakfast, man of the people, eggs, sausages, bacon and all this sort of stuff, you know, because he's only a normal guy. But he'd have a celebrity with him, making him look good. So it could be Ronan Keating or Daniel O'Donnell. And so Bertie would be cooking with Ronan Keating or Daniel O'Donnell. And
it's the dynamic between them that changes it every day. So dynamic. It makes it a bit different.
And it fell into that idea of celebrity meets politics, and which was the new politics. Celebrity was politics now. Politics was celebrity. And we decided to call the thing Gift Grub. And Gift came from kind of a Dublin expression called Gift, which I remember still using in school when to describe something that was great.
Yeah.
Gift.
Oh, that's Gift.
That's Gift.
Yeah.
Like it's very
gift
much.
Gift goal. Ah, brilliant.
Yeah. And it's like what kids say nowadays. Class. Yeah. That's the word. Class. My son says it. He goes, oh, that's class. Back then, we would have said Gift. And then food, grub, Gift, yeah. Grub, Gift, grub. Kind of had a kind of, in a funny way, this is 25 years later, I still often think of the name and I go, what a strange, unusual name that has absolutely nothing to do.
But you see,
but
it was a success. So then it works. It's exactly the same as saying, what a stupid name for a band. The Beatles. Stop.
Art.
You two, where are you going, lads?
Oh,
you
know? But I remember, so the words Gift Grub, you can't understand, you can't glean that something comedy comes from that, but unless you know where it comes from. But then it works. And it also, like, I know this is only a small point, but it kind of looks good written down.
Yeah.
It has two big, huge G's on it, and G's a real powerful, get out of my way letter. G is huge, especially when you put it in big font. G. Capital Gift, capital G. And the other G, 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 G.
Yeah.
And so it always looks good in fonts. And you've never seen anything like it. And
Bertie also liked the GGs.
Yeah, he loved the GGs. And so that's how it started. And we started doing sketches And for those people who may remember, we started doing sketches around Bertie, but we also started doing sketches around a couple of idiosyncratic things that I'd come to the table with. So,
yeah. And also, I mean, you mentioned earlier on Paul McLoon, and Paul was very, very instrumental at the very start. He was the producer of the show. He was also excellent at impressions.
Yeah.
And I mean, he used to do a Gary Barlow from Take That. He used to do a kind of a live, just to talk about Paul, live.
Paul is the lead singer with the Undertones.
Yes.
Which means he has a magnificent musical, not only understanding, encyclopedic knowledge, but a great voice.
Yeah.
And he could mimic singing as various different characters.
Yeah, he could.
And I remember when we did the Bee Gees Meet Bertie, and he helped me, to, you know, for example, to harmonise. And he harmonised basically all the Bee Gees talking to Bertie.
And amazing,
I mean, when
yeah.
you hear it, it was great because he was able to harmonise.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could do Van Morrison and stuff like that. And
that's right.
Remember, we did a sketch where Bertie meets Keith Richards and Mick Jagger and all that sort of stuff. So he was great with musical characters as well. And just great, great. He was great at scripting as well, and great at doing voices, and a brilliant mimic and all that sort of stuff. So it was really me and Paul. Half the time I'd say it was me and Paul, and then the other time probably it was me just doing it live with Ian, with David Coleman and Yap Stam and all these characters and stuff like that.
Taoiseach, your fondest memories?
Yep.
The Good Friday Agreement.
Yes.
The Euro, obviously.
Yeah, up there, yeah.
Anything else?
Well, cooking with the Bee Gees is hard to beat.
What we need is to add a few of Bertie's special onions.
I'm not sure about the onions, Bertie.
Well, onions give it flavour there, Barry.
Yeah, I know, but why don't you use shallots?
Why shallots, Barry?
Well, because shallots are... lads, shallots are what?
More than an onion. More than an onion. More than an onion to me.
Bertie Ahern, the former Taoiseach, 1997 to 2008. Well, I think nearly all the time I was Taoiseach, people would tell me what I was up to this morning and what Mario was doing for me, and all the stories. And it was always, Mario mightn't want to hear this, or the station mightn't, but it was always kids on the street. Kids would say to me, "Oh, you were on this morning when we were in the car. Me ma was laughing at you, me dad was laughing at you," and then and I just said, "What did I say today?" You know, and of course, you know, with kids, you'd only get a word here or there, but it was always the kids, and then I suppose, you know, going to work in the car. The Garda drivers would say today, those people laughing their heads off in the car, they're obviously listening to you. We'd be listening to the news, of course, when they keep ahead of the day's events to know what's going on, you know. But I would have been better off listening to a bit of laugh, cheer me up. but you know, all the time, everywhere you'd go, you know, people would you know, tell you what was on in the crack. And I think it was a good, light-hearted way for the start of the day, you know.
The gift hub is, you know, it kind of, it's probably reflecting some of the things going on and some of the stories that are going on, but it's doing it in a light-hearted way. And I think if people are listening to that, they get it, they get the whole lot. They're not just getting a line. And I think that's why gift hub is far better than these things that are just social media jumping up a line. And you know, the amount of, you know, I know it's Trump, who's no friend of mine, but I know Trump was the starter of fake news. But the way genuine interviews now are spun into headlines, it really is fake news. Now you hear people giving out every day about fake news. And that's a problem. So I think the time of Gift Grub, you know, whatever it was, and even if sometimes it was rubbing the bone a bit, you know, so what? But at least people were listening to a whole piece.
I'm telling you, Joe, things are looking up big time. That's all I can say.
Well, I wouldn't get carried away, Taoiseach.
No. I can feel it in me bones, Joe. Tide has turned.
No, you can't just transform things overnight, Taoiseach. That would be impossible.
Yeah, maybe so, Joe, but still and all.
It'd be like asking Gareth Gates and Will Young there to start suddenly sounding like...
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
Never mind how, Joe. I'm on a bleeding roll.
Okay, I'm officially freaked out.
I think it was it was amazing, the audience, you know. I think, you know, most days people would mention it somewhere. So obviously, you know, people were listening, taking in, but it was always lighthearted. I mean, it was never, and that's when I never minded. It was never serious. And, you know, sometimes... The guards had even said, after turning on today, they were on this, you know, so you'd get a bit of it. I always took it in good spirits and in good light. And I remember one of the anniversaries. I remember two of them very well. There was one program where I did listen to, because they said the whole debate was about lying, and you were lying. I said, oh, well, lying, I didn't, wasn't lying about what. But it was me on with we were going through some stories, and I said, you're lying, you're not lying, you are lying. It was great for the crack, you know, and I really enjoyed it. And then the other one that I long remember was when there was an anniversary on, I don't know what anniversary, and I was down opening up a gym down in Fairview. And I came along and they asked me, would I say a bit into the programme? And they said, we'd like to record a bit on the programme. So there was a good few people there. It was the opening of the pool, I think, in the gym, that nice gym down in Fairview. And I said, sure I would. And they said, well, we just want to record the people that take you off in Today FM. And I said, what do you mean? I go in there every morning. That's not Mario, whatever his name is. I said, that's me. That's Bert here. I go in there every morning. Don't be saying I didn't know it. So I ended up, they were all looking at me. They wondered what this was about. And then I said, you know, in fact, you know, so it was my great line. So I think I convinced people it was me, you know. In fact, I'm going to send in the bills looking for my time. And
ah, the early days, eh? And then it got terribly sophisticated.
Cullum?
Parig.
How are you? Are you coming for a pint?
I told you to stop bothering me.
Why?
Because I don't like you, Parig.
But I have some news.
What news?
I've been nominated for an Oscar out beyond.
Great.
In the best actor category, Cullum. It's big, like.
I don't care, Parig. You're dull.
Jesus, what do I have to do to make you like me, Cullum?
Stay away from me, Parig.
Wait. I've more news.
What? What now?
You've been nominated as well, Cullum.
What did you say to me?
For the best supporting actor, Oscar. Well done.
Who the hell is this Oscar fella?
Hello.
Okay.
I wanna be like Grace Kelly.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I've often thought it's a bit like a newspaper, like a features thing in a newspaper, because Gift Grub is like a new feature every day on the radio, and Ian's program is the newspaper, and one of the features is Gift Grub, and so I'm like a kind of a, in a way, I'm a kind of like a journalist who brings a number of ideas for features to the table. So I might have
some idle Lou Grant or somebody like that. What do you got for me? What do you got for me?
You're Fintan O'Toole.
Fintan O'Toole, very good.
So I might bring, like, I might have. We're all thinking of ideas all the time. We're all thinking of stuff to put in. I mean, as the years have gone by, like we've talked about this before as well. Everything I see now in life is a potential sketch.
I'm always amazed at what you can do with a character, because there are people who do mimicry and they do it very well and they're able to get the voice absolutely spot on. But you bring another level to it, because I think what you do with a character is you find that little kind of idiosyncrasy, the little foible in the person, and that's what you kind of exaggerate almost. So you make a character and you make it kind of more... make it your own, basically. Because, I mean, you could argue that some of the impressions that are heard on Gift Grub, you sometimes get text messages in saying, that doesn't sound anything like your man at all. You know what I mean? Mm. And that's fine. And that can be very hurtful from time to time. But at the same time, it's because you've actually made it your own. And that is the version of Bertie Ahern or Leo Varadkar or Mick McCarthy. Big and slicer, and you pick on something that they do. And I mean, I don't know whether you do that every time, just to try and find what it is about them that makes
you do.
Them,
I mean, you do. You always try to find something. Yeah. So you're trying to find one of several things. You're trying to find something in their voice,
yeah,
or you're trying to find something in their character, which you think you've seen,
yeah,
which could be done in their, yeah, voice. So let's say you've seen a character. Let's even take Michael D, for example. Yeah. He's an interesting one because he has so many sides to him.
Yeah.
He has, you know, the kind of common side, yeah, where, remember, we
I'm with the people.
I'm
there.
The football, yeah, blood referee for that's a foul.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael D can be a soccer supporter. But he can also quickly be with intellectuals. And then he kind of adopts his posh voice. That thing, you know that thing.
Yeah.
And it's the telephone voice that we used to have.
Yes. When your mommy answered the phone. Hello?
That's
who's
exactly
speaking,
it.
Please.
So you kind of go, yeah, if you see something like that in person, you kind of go, they're kind of like, they want to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah. They don't want to be, they want to be seen as something.
Yeah.
So then you kind of portray that in the character.
Sometimes, Jerry, after a 23-hour round trip to Singapore representing my country, I'm not in the mood to cook, so I order a pizza. A big one. I like Papa John's. Margherita. Preferably with pineapple. I think it's a small luxury the people of Ireland will allow me as President of Ireland!
I was thinking about it, and one of the things that's an interesting way of looking at it is I would never compare. I'm an actor, right? Now, obviously, one of the preeminent actors of our era is Robert De Niro. Yeah. I remember him saying something, and he went, "I always try to grasp onto something redeemable or good in the character. I can't play a character if I can't find anything good in them."
Right.
I'm not saying something even as cliched as they like their dog, but maybe they really cared about their country and they loved their mother. And they were loyal to their brother.
Something. They had a soul.
They had something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he couldn't and wouldn't ever play Donald Trump because he says he can find nothing at all redeemable about him. And so when I'm looking at a character, I go, is there anything in there at all that, yeah, I feel people might latch on to?
Imagine if children finished school, for example, and went to the opera.
Oh,
to
lovely.
Sit through Madame Butterfly,
yeah,
or the Barber of Seville on a Wednesday afternoon, or to sit underneath the trees, simply composing poetry to each other.
Yeah.
Did you say you were an actor? Because you told me once you were a failed actor.
Well, I mean, failed is all relative. Like a golfer, I'm a great golfer as well. Yeah. It's all relative, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You were in a movie, weren't you?
Oh yeah, like, and it was obviously I was in Glenroe.
Yeah,
and the Glenroe was that.
The doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. So Glenroe was like a big deal in Ireland in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
So you're joking when you say you're a failed actor?
Well, no, I'm telling the truth. But what is an unfailed actor?
I'm just trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
I'm Mairead Ronan, former Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show producer, and my standout gift grub memory is one which involves Colin Farrell, and I mean the actual Colin Farrell. So Mario and Ian had asked me to take part in gift grub, which was on the next day. I was to play the part of a TV presenter. I said, I can do that. I was going to be a presenter on Bosco. I was delighted to do that because I grew up watching Bosco. And then Mario, who is also not just a brilliant writer, he's a brilliant director. So a lot of people who listen to Gift Grub wouldn't realise that he's such a good director. So when you're in the booth and you are doing the voice, he will also, no, do a bit more of this and a little less of that. And that needs to be louder and that needs to be softer. But Mario was directing me and telling me that I needed to sing really badly. And a couple of times he did say, you're singing too well, Mairead. And I said, sorry, I'll correct that for you, Mario. So he wanted me to sing really, really badly. I eventually nailed it. And the next day, I was standing in for Ray Darcy just for one day only. And I was presenting the Ray Darcy Show on Today FM. And I went into the studio and I looked through the glass, so the middle studio, and then I could see down to Ian. And Colin Farrell was sitting there, and Ian and Colin were talking about me and pointing up. And of course, I didn't know what they were saying. And then I got embarrassed and I started getting a red neck and red cheeks. And I was just like, oh my God, what is he saying? And then I lifted up the fader and I could hear Ian playing the gift grub that I had been in again for a second time. And it was me singing so badly. And Colin Farrell left the studio walked up to where I was and said, Jesus, I thought I was a bad singer. You're the worst I've ever heard. And then I went into a flop sweat saying, I'm actually a really good singer. Like Mario is such a good director. He made me sing that badly. And he was like, sure. Okay. And then I felt like such an idiot because I had completely overdone that to Colin Farrell. So, yeah, that's my standout gift grub memory.
All hate lies and everyone agrees.
You should have heard that stuff about your dungarees.
I got that lie was very little, Bosco. It wasn't very big.
See, even little lies can end up costing you your gig.
Nice.
You love football, don't you, Bertie?
I love football, Grania.
Bertie has a tongue twister about football, don't you?
I do.
Oh, great. I love tongue twisters. Go on, do it.
Fianna Fáil feel football fields face fantastic futures.
Say it again, Bertie. I'm going to play a trick.
Fianna Fáil feel football fields face fantastic futures. Jesus, me neck.
Go on, do it again, do it again.
Oh, in fact,
I make it worse.
Don't.
Jesus.
No, do it again!
Fianna Fáil feel football fields face fantastic futures.
Go on, Bertie, you can do it! Fianna Fáil feel football fields face fantastic futures. Go on!
Bosco!
Jesus.
Gift wrapped.
A Today FM original podcast telling the story behind Gift Grub, which has been making Ireland laugh for 25 years.
Will you ever get a life?
Well, that's just great, isn't it?
Tasha, great crack altogether.